man.
This is it.
This is the one.
This is 441.
I can't even. This is 441.
You know, it's actually, I'm excited because we're going to be talking about some movies that I'm wanting to see for a while. I wanted to see Bohemian Rhapsody for a long time, so I'm excited to talk about it. I also saw a movie that I didn't necessarily want to see, but my daughter wanted to see it, and it was already kind of available, so watched The Visit, the M. Night Shyamalan movie. That
Have you ever pronounced his name correctly?
No, and I never will. And... Shyamalan.
It's
I will when he makes another good movie. Then I'll pronounce his name correctly. But I got to talk about this movie.
I'm just excited that we're a quarter of the way to episode 1764.
Why wouldn't you
be excited about that? I can't wait. I mean, the 1764 party we're going to have
It's going to be one for the books.
It's really, I mean... Everyone waits till they get to episode 1764, mm-hmm. and we're a quarter of the way at 441, so it's really, this is the stuff I get excited about. Yeah.
I've matched up that with the doomsday clock.
I don't know, the Earth might collapse before 1764.
Well, we'll see how today goes.
Yeah. Oh, folks, if you haven't voted.
Yeah,
yes, please vote, please.
Yeah.
I'm going to live stream election results today starting at 7 p.m. Pacific time.
So
on my youtube.com/Graham Elwood, Political Vigilante, I'm going to
check it out. Yeah. And now you pre-voted. You did early voting, right?
Well, here's what I do. Mm-hmm. I, you know, when I was back on the road heavy, I signed up for vote by mail.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes I just knew I was going to be out of town.
Right.
And when I am in town on election day, mm-hmm. I do all of my voting at home. I take my time. I go over it. But then, and this is the thing in California, if you do vote by mail and don't put it in the mail, you can just walk into any polling place, walk right up past the line and go right to the person working the box. And they will say, they will take your ballot, your mail ballot, and put it right in the ballot box.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I knew that.
Yeah.
Wow.
I my wife and I both did the vote by mail. Mm-hmm. She got her ballot. I did not. So I still had to go, thinking, all right, now I'm going to have to do a provisional ballot. Wanted to make it easier. Now it's harder. So it turns out I didn't need a provisional one because apparently there was no record of me even requesting a mail, a ballot by mail.
That's weird.
So it's so ridiculous. Like, I go in, I have to wait an hour. Okay, you know, I get it. I blocked out the time. I was ready. You know, voting's important. I want to do it. You have to go in. I have to look at some faded map that is color-coded. Find my street, find the matching table, then wait again in that line, and then have the volunteer with the poorest eyesight look up everyone's name.
It is, America is one of the only industrialized countries where elections aren't held either on a weekend or a national holiday. Mm-hmm.
My favorite was when the person looking up the name went, "Oh, are you Audrey?" I'm like, "No, I'm not Audrey. That's my wife."
Hey, you know, it's a different world.
Yeah,
you know,
like,
come on.
You know, the names that are not gender specific anymore. I get it.
I've been Rebecca for years.
Yeah. But and I just am thinking, you know, can't we get this blockchain thing figured out so we can online vote at some point?
No, like, one wants you to vote.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
I know. It's like it's getting
smaller
worse.
Voter pool is easier to manipulate.
That's right.
So let's introduce our guest.
Let's do
How
it.
Do you like that?
That's it. And did you vote today?
I'm going to vote.
Yes.
Because I got a new place.
Yeah.
And so
now you have a new polling place.
I'm looking forward to going to the polling place, even if I have to wait. So,
yes.
Just for the excitement.
I will say this. One of the things I read, and there's 20-some states, I think, that have early voting. California is one of them. You can either vote by mail or go. They have polling places that were open early for, like, several weeks. It was the highest number of early voting ever.
For midterms, right?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Kind of across the board, right?
For any. Like,
yeah.
For any election. Any election.
But, like, almost across the country, it's like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everyone was showing up early.
Well, that's encouraging.
Yep.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
So, ladies and gentlemen, our guest is a podcaster, a comedian, a host of Monster Party.
Also a
writer and actor for the television and the film. Ladies and gentlemen, and also a writer for Comedy Film Nerds, including the Comedy Film Nerds Guide to Movies, Matt Weinhold.
Hey!
And he's also wearing a zombie shirt.
Of course
he is. Thank you so much.
Well, it's not It's, you would think it's a zombie shirt.
No, it's a double feature.
But it actually is. It's a double feature.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Do you know of this double feature?
It is the same director, right?
No, it's not.
Oh, it's not. Okay.
Because what they tried to, you know, back in the day, they tried to put together the kind of saucy double feature that'll bring the kids in.
Yeah.
And so they got.
Saucy. That was the pitch meeting. Yeah. Give me a saucy double feature that'll bring the kids in.
Saucy. Lots of sauce. Not so much on the second film, though. Because the second film is, well, the double feature is I Drink Your Blood, I Eat Your Skin. Now, I would think I Eat Your Skin is really where it's going to, you know, pop. But no, I Drink Your Blood, the far better film. I Eat Your Skin, kind of a crappy little voodoo movie. But I Drink Your Blood, satanic hippies.
Oh,
yeah. Nice. Who are given a rabid meat pie with rabid dog blood. They eat it, become rabid, and you know, mayhem erupts.
Isn't this how this isn't the true story? This is how Topanga Canyon started, right? I'm not mistaken, right?
A lot of fun that canyon. I'm telling you.
Just don't go hiking at night.
No,
that's all I'm saying.
No,
they will. Those satanic hippies will eat your face.
Yeah, there's a little V in the road where satanic hippies. Sometimes they change it, so gotta be careful.
I went to go see anarchist folk singer up in Topanga Canyon a couple weeks ago.
Of course you did.
And it was so clear when the concert was over, we needed to get out of there before the satanic hippies came.
Yeah.
It was very clear.
Your each venue is blocked out for a certain amount of time. And that, well, all right, if anybody doesn't want to get eaten, you know, you got to go after
it
the music
felt like,
ends.
It felt like... Sun, getting near sunset during the Omega Man.
Right.
Like
that.
Yeah. Yeah. All of a sudden, black cloaks start showing up. Like, oh, that's a bad sign.
Yep. You know, two of them start setting up an altar. Okay.
Yeah.
It's fine.
This feels weird. Yeah. Can't see anybody.
But me, I would stick around and try to help. You know? I'm like, you guys need to end with that? You're never going to get that out of the car.
Do you guys need help setting up?
That's how I get in trouble.
Yes,
all the time.
We do.
Oh, no.
Satanic hippies got me again.
Sacrifice again.
They ate my face again.
Yeah. Well, it depends. Do you? Oh, no, I got my own rope in the car.
Now, wait a minute. So. You went and saw an anarchist folk singer. Now, was that something that happened accidentally, or did you go, I'm looking for a...
Now, were you looking for the satanic hippies, and you ended up seeing a...
Yeah, how did that work out?
I went to go satanic hippie hunting.
Yeah.
And then, there was a show, and I took a break. No, Ron Placone, who I do the Progressive Comedy Tour with, he's also a music nerd, and he was like, have you ever heard of... And he said the guy's name, and I was like, no. He's like, he's an anarchist folk singer. I'm like, and he's playing in Topanga? I'm in.
Yeah.
Let's book it.
Was he good?
He was great.
Yeah.
Great. Now, for a second, when Ron said that to you, did you think like, well, maybe I'll just lie and say I have heard of him?
I didn't want to do that, just... The lie of the hipster. Yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I loved
I've
him.
Got all his albums.
Yeah.
Oh, he doesn't believe in albums.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. That's why I have all of his theoretical
albums. Nobody has
albums
except people where it's cool to have an album. No. Wow, that's something. I gotta check this guy out. Did you YouTube him first or anything? Or
Ron sent me a link, and he's like, watch this song. And when we were driving up there, he goes, did you listen to the song? I said, no, man. He goes, what? I go, I trust you. He said, anarchist.
Wow.
Is it something where you have to make someone else watch the VHS tape of the anarchist, otherwise you'll die in 48 hours? Is that...
It did have sort of a Vault Lost vibe to it. The numbers are bad.
Usually when anyone says folk singer, I'm like, oh, no. Oh, no, no. This is going to go badly.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't need to watch it, because if you tell me anarchist folk singer...
No, that makes it better.
What curveball is going to be thrown at you?
You're not going to...
No, that sounds pretty good.
Like what? He's going to wear spandex and have a laser show? Like what would happen that I would go...
That would be anarchy in the folk world, right?
He would be completely blowing up the folk world.
Yeah.
No, man, I mean, he had a song...
Dylan went electric, I'm just saying.
He had a song about the school bus that was bombed in Yemen in August. And he wrote this in early October. Like, that's who this guy is.
Wow.
And I'm blanking on his name.
Well, I think he'd appreciate that as an anarchist.
And now it's
he
on
doesn't
a
want you to name him with his name.
And now it's on a Skittles commercial.
Yeah.
You know how quickly they sell out.
They just sold it right out.
Yeah. So, all right.
All right,
let's
movies.
Get into some movies.
By the way, we sat on pillows and cushions because there weren't real seats in the venue.
Of course you did.
Yeah. Did you have to rent them?
No, they were free. It was very, very communal thing.
The faces of capitalists on them.
I think it was a pay what you think is fair donation type thing.
Wow.
And I think the pillows?
Just for the
that only works for the little rascals. That's the only time that's ever worked.
So, all right, let's talk about Bohemian Rhapsody.
All right, let's jump in.
Let's do it.
And I'll tell you, I pulled up a bunch of trivia on this movie.
We're going to do a spoiler up on Bohemian Rhapsody, too. So we'll just so you know.
It was absolutely fascinating, some of the stuff that that came up. Like, some of the obvious stuff, like Rami Malek, the lead, he was fitted with a special prosthetic teeth to best resemble Freddie's prominent overbite, which I didn't know that either. Like, that, you know, Freddie Mercury had an overbite, and I think in the movie they said, like, he had, like, four extra teeth or something. Yeah. Like, I'm like, oh my God.
But I had that. Seriously. But then, growing up, I had too many teeth in my mouth and they had to pull a bunch of them out.
Yeah. So, wow. But it was one of those things where, like, you know, I've seen footage of Freddie Mercury and Queen and I never noticed it before. But when they show the actual footage of Freddie Mercury, a close up of his jaw, when I'm specifically looking for it, okay, then I saw it.
I always noticed that about Freddie Mercury. Mm-hmm. So when I first heard of this movie being made, I was like, how are they going to do the teeth? Because that was a part of who he was. I mean, like, that was a part of his, you know, and then they explained it in the movie as, like, I have four extra teeth so I can hit higher notes or something like that, which I was like, I don't know. Who knows how singing works?
Yeah, yeah. A bigger mouth chamber.
I thought teeth played a very minor role in the singing.
So,
turns out, no,
teeth, very important.
And this movie's been in development for a while, and this is the craziest thing that I read. Sacha Baron Cohen was the original choice to play Freddie Mercury with Stephen Frears directing.
What would that movie look like?
Well, I will tell you.
Okay.
He left the project, though, due to creative differences with the band's guitarist, Brian May, and drummer Roger Taylor, who have control over the music and film rights. It fell apart after May voiced his displeasure at finding that the project would only be a biopic of Mercury, not the rest of Queen.
How do you do that? Do you blur out the other people? Like, how is that
May
possible?
May felt it should focus on the other members and the aftermath of Mercury's death. They didn't like the...
that's no good
either. They didn't like the original draft, and Baron Cohen... did a historically accurate, outrageous portrayal of Mercury that did not shy away from the rough edges of the story. May was very negative of Baron Cohen and felt he was too much of a comedic actor who couldn't do Mercury justice in drama. But ultimately, I think it's like, well, the rest of the band wasn't in it enough.
But I agree with the band, though, because, I mean, that's a big part of...
I mean, Queen isn't just Freddie Mercury. It's the entire band.
Not at all. Yeah, yeah. And when he went solo, how great was it? You know, it was that classic thing of like... And they, other guys came up with some of their classic iconic songs. They weren't just these like day laborer musicians that just were at the feet of Freddie Mercury. Mm-hmm. Like this, I'm glad they got rid of Sacha Baron Cohen then.
Yeah.
If that's what was going on.
I don't think that would have worked from what I read.
Where's the Bon Scott non-ACDC movie?
No, I don't know necessarily.
You know?
Yeah. And I don't know if... you know, Bryan Singer necessarily was the right choice because apparently it had a troubled production.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
So, yes. The production, according to the BBC, the film production was rough. The film's producers and lead star, Rami Malek, had grown tired of director Bryan Singer's erratic behavior, which saw him routinely showing up late to set or disappearing altogether.
Jesus.
In 2017, after Thanksgiving break, Singer disappeared for filming for three straight days, in which the cinematographer had to step in and direct during Singer's non-showings.
Was that around Monsterpalooza?
Yeah.
Okay.
Something happened where he's like, he left because of a family matter. But
Has Singer been accused of creepy stuff? I forget.
Yeah,
I lose track of all the fucking Hollywood creeps.
Honestly, I do too.
I think there is something.
I think there is.
I think there's some history there.
Yeah.
A couple of days after this report, 20th Century Fox fired Singer from the film due to his and also clashes with production personnel. And then they terminated. They went further than that. Like they said, well, not only we're firing you from this film, we're terminating the production deal that you have with the studio. So
yay!
So another director came in to finish the movie and also do post. So you could tell, like, some of the rough parts of the film, it feels like two people directed it.
Okay.
Like, Aaron, can you pull up who they got to replace it? Because he didn't get a directing credit. Like, the DGA decided to give the entire credit to Bryan Singer, but he didn't finish it. He didn't finish the film.
Well, on IndieWire here, there's the Bryan Singer timeline, a history of allegations and defenses from troubled films to sexual assault claims.
Oh, yeah. That's yeah. another article.
Yeah. Where's that movie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway, let's... I was watching this movie, and I was thinking, like...
Yes, it was, Cesar Sanchez Guzman accused Singer of sexually assaulting him in 2003 when Sanchez Guzman was 17 years old.
Oh, okay. All right. So, yeah, there's some history there, too. So, yeah, I don't know
Dexter
what
Dexter Fletcher was the name of the
Who
director.
Is it, Aaron?
Dexter Fletcher.
Dexter Fletcher. Okay. So he came in and had to do, I mean, it was something like, and it wasn't an insignificant amount. It was weeks of shooting and all of the post. So you could tell, too, like, as you're watching the film, and it has a very bloated runtime. It's, like, close to 2 hours and 20 minutes, something that it doesn't need to be. But it felt like there were certain parts where, like, well, that just doesn't kind of match the rest of the movie. Like, it's
Bryan Singer's tone and feel.
Yeah,
Act
yeah.
Pupil, he was sued for filming other minors and naked in a shower scene without their permission.
Oh, my God, that's awful. Why is he still working?
Why were you?
How the fuck is this guy still working?
Why did it take that long?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is a...
I'm mad I gave this movie my money now.
Yeah, yeah. So,
fuck this guy.
So
let me tell Hollywood executives something real quick. You hire me as a director, I'll show up.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did.
And most likely not molest anyone.
I'm not going to molest anybody. Yeah. And nothing in it. I just directed 13 episodes of a TV show. I never just didn't show. Had I done that, I would have...
It wouldn't have been 13.
Fired.
Yeah.
I would have been replaced that yes. afternoon.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Fuck this guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
if I was going to direct a movie, if I was going to molest anybody, it would be the older people. Like, because I like older ladies. So, like, the lunch lady is in trouble.
Yeah. So, keep that in mind also,
it's a
Hollywood
bold stance,
executives.
Matt.
Yes. Yeah. For Matt Weinhold's onset. Proclivity.
Yeah. Proclivity. Yeah, you never know. Yeah.
Oh. So now this movie, I'll tell you, it's the whole thing is kind of leading up to Live Aid, like in the 80s when that mm-hmm. giant concert came in. And
which was sort of a reunion show for
Queen. And this movie It was one of those movies that, like, it wasn't bad, but I really felt like it didn't go where it needed to go. Like, I never felt like it hit the finish line. Like, I thought the portrayal of Freddie Mercury was really good. Like, I thought the actor did an amazing job, Rami Malek, and, you know, really kind of got... I'm sure there was a lot of stuff that was omitted from the film. Like even, like, the crazy, like, music and Hollywood parties, I'm like, I'll bet it was crazier than that.
Yeah.
like that. Like, this really feels like a sanitized Hollywood
TV
version
movie.
Of... Yeah, yeah.
That's what it looked like to me when I saw the trailer. It looked like a TV movie.
Like, you know, I felt like there was a lot of stuff, like there was drama shoehorned in, like, well, did that really happen? Or,
right.
Or did this really happen? And then there was this crazy part of Mike Myers coming in Muppet makeup to
Halloween?
Play for some... Yeah, the Austin Powers.
Oh, okay.
And playing this, you know, made-up music executive. So he was literally only in, like, one or a couple of scenes, but it was...
That's
like,
all he's allowed to do
anymore,
right?
Yeah, but it was so distracting. I'm like, well, this is Mike Myers under a bunch of makeup playing a sketch character in a biopic for Freddie Mercury. It didn't fit... At all.
So, what was the thinking on that? I was like, so that if that actual guy was a Scottish guy. Well, Mike Myers can do a Scottish accent. Was that the thinking? Versus
no, it couldn't have been because it was a made up character. It wasn't even an actual character.
And did they scour when finding the guy to play Freddie Mercury? Did they look for? Did they go through every bucktooth actor first? Right before, like, you know,
right.
God forbid someone has naturally bad teeth.
So, Aaron, you were saying before the show that there was historically inaccurate stuff in the film. What was that?
Well, they never broke up.
Right.
When Freddie went to do his solo album,
that was manufactured.
Basically,
drama.
Yeah. They when they do Live Aid, they had been playing together. They just put an album out that year or the year prior, and toured it. So they were not apart for years.
See?
But I mean, it added to the drama. I get it. Like, it's not the end of the world.
Could you clear up something for me?
Sure.
Because so I have a friend who lives in Japan, a guy named Roger Takahashi, and this guy is a gigantic Queen fan. And he even has a tribute band. He's the drummer in the tribute band called Queer, which is fantastic. But so he said, we were kind of excited about, you know, my wife and I wanted to see this movie. And then he said, oh, I already don't like it because they used the wrong instruments. Like the band isn't using the musical instruments that they used in real life. Do you know if that's true?
I wouldn't be able to tell you that. I mean, I saw some of that in the trivia and the goofs on IMDb, but it's not. It's not wholesale. It's like little pieces of instruments are off, yeah.
But that would be something that would bug me if I was a Queen fan.
I mean,
fan.
If they had Brian May playing a Stratocaster, that would have been upsetting. But, I mean, he's playing the right guitar. That actor looked amazing.
Okay.
I'll tell you, I will say this. I thought the band, like, supporting Freddie Mercury was hilarious and funny. And
the guy playing the bass player, John Deacon, is the kid from Jurassic Park.
Really?
Tim from Jurassic Park. Joseph Mazzello, yeah.
That's amazing.
That's crazy.
Like, and I will say this, that to give them credit, too. Like, what was really important for that is to not have actors that were too famous, that were recognizable faces, because the thing about, especially music biopics, like, if you use really famous actors or actors that, you know, are in a ton of stuff, you don't believe for a second that they're musicians. Like these guys, I really felt like, well, these guys, not only do they look like musicians, I believe that they're musicians. Like, it didn't look like actors playing musicians. It looked like just musicians. So that, I think they did really right as far as casting and acting and just even making them look a certain way. But also they gave them great sense of humor. Like, the supporting band was hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, they had the best lines in the movie. Like, you know, Freddie Mercury was funny, but... you know, when he would have some lines, but he was a lot more serious, and where the band was just absolutely hilarious. Like, it was, you know, they deserved their own movie. You know, a comedy road movie I would watch. You know, them.
Just no Brian Singer.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. So
and you've seen it too, Graham?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this movie was definitely, it was hit or miss for me. And I think one of the problems too is I had really big expectations going on. I really wanted it to be good. And I wanted it to be like a home run and knock it out of the park. And I think I couldn't tap them down enough to really accept a mediocre movie.
Right.
But it wasn't horrible. It was okay, but it definitely had some problems. And the running time was one of them.
Yeah.
Like
20 minutes too long. Easy.
Yeah, yeah.
If not 30. I mean,
yeah.
That was, I was starting to lose interest.
Right. And it was too much and too long. And then, you know, when we finally got to Live Aid, you know, they made a big deal of like, well, this is a 20-minute set. Everyone gets a 20-minute set. You know, there's, you know, it's favored nations of all these giant bands. And then I'm watching the movie go and thinking, oh, they're going to show it to me in real time. Like, literally, I think almost the entire set was there. Now,
I get that
they spent a lot of money to recreate the Live Aid stage and try to make it look really good. And that, from a technological perspective, it was truly amazing, because filmmaking technology now, like, you couldn't do that years ago, where you were literally recreating a giant, massive
You'd have to get 100,000 extras.
Yeah, 100,000 extras, where, you know, here, you know, or you would just use stock footage, which looks awful.
Right.
So, but here, you know, they you could tell they recreated part of the stage, and, you know, they had a certain amount of extras there for sure.
Sure.
But then, you know, when they did the sweeping crowd shots, they were either computer generated or partially with a stage that they built and partially computer. Like, it was seamless.
But
it looked really good.
Isn't it weird, though, that, like, see, I hate that kind of stuff, because, like, give me a better movie. I don't need to see you recreate a concert that exists.
Right.
Like, we have Queen. We had Queen. You know, we don't need to see your version of it. Mm-hmm. And like the wonderful thing about watching old concert footage is to see all those real people in the audience, like, oh my God, I forgot how huge they were.
Right.
And then this, you just go, oh, it's a special effects scene. Okay. That's okay. It's not like it's that hard to do anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's so interesting. You know, we talk a lot about this on this show. Anytime we get into a biopic, and biopics are tricky because there's, do you serve two masters? Do you serve all of the people from Aaron to your friend in Japan who are diehards, who know all of this stuff and are like, you get everything right for them? Are you making this movie for people who like, oh, like I knew Queen, I knew their songs, I wasn't a rabid fan, I knew Freddie Mercury, I couldn't have named one other person in the band other than him.
Right.
And I kind, you know, I don't. So what was interesting for me was the historical context of Bohemian Rhapsody, how they made it, having a scene with a record executive going, radio only plays 3 minute songs. Right. That stuff's interesting to me.
Yes. Yeah.
And how accurate was that actual meeting where they had to be artists and go, no, man, stand behind this. Like, show me that. That's interesting because I don't know that.
Yeah.
I don't know that, you know, he was married to this woman. She was the love of his life. And then, oh, guess what? He realizes he's gay. You know, like, how did that play out? Okay, cool. Like, the band interaction with each other, that's the stuff that we don't really know. Unless you're a super diehard fan and you've read every book and every interview and every...
Yeah. I totally agree with you. That is the stuff of drama.
Right.
I don't need to see...
And you make it accessible.
Yeah. I don't need a 20-minute fake concert finale.
Right.
I would rather see more drama.
Right.
Now, I didn't know it's like the fact that I didn't know he was like Indian descent.
No, I didn't know that.
And in the 70s, they're calling him a Paki, which is a derogatory term. It's a racist term in the UK, like, or anywhere, obviously, but that's like how they use it there. And I was like, oh, wow. So his parents are like, you know, be traditional. What are you doing? You know, what's with all the flamboyant and all this stuff? I didn't know that. That's interesting.
A lot of boxes of wrong checked on Freddie Mercury for his family.
And there was one scene that I really wish was in the film that was not. I would have loved to have seen a scene with Weird Al Yankovic getting the rights to Another One Rides the Bus. So.
Through the credits. Yes. Through the credits, right?
Yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah.
I like to see you guys. I want
Another One Rides the Bus.
Yeah.
Make some movies, you guys.
Yeah.
Well, there was some cool. I mean,
that
like,
better be in the DVD extras.
And they did some. They did some cool stuff of like they're in the studio, like, hey, let's try this, and then they would intercut it with the final product song that we all know, and then some sold out arena and everyone going nuts.
Right.
But like that stuff was cool. Like I remember the John Cusack.
I was just thinking about that. Yes. Yeah. What was that movie?
The Brian Wilson story, whatever that one was.
You know
what
I'm talking about? Yeah.
Love and Mercy.
Love and Mercy.
So good.
You got to see. I mean, that was such a great, those scenes were so great where Paul Dano is playing the young Brian Wilson.
Yeah.
And he's like, I didn't know this. I just knew the beach. He's like, I can't do another song about the sun and the beach and the fun and the sun. I can't do it. Like, we got to do something else. And everyone's like, no, but the sun and the beach and the fun and the sun, we got to just keep churning that out. I love when an iconic artist made stuff that was outside of their thing. They got famous on a certain thing and then they had to go outside of it. I would love to see a Bowie biopic when it's like how he starts out and then Ziggy Stardust, you got to do Ziggy for the rest of your life. No, I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? And you're out of your fucking mind.
How many times did that guy reinvent himself?
I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of it being an experimental album.
Let's have that. I'd like to see the behind the scenes on that. The dramatization of that is more interesting to me than, but I get so fucking mad. And now I don't like this movie more, obviously, because Bryan Singer, that's right. He's another creep. Fuck him. But Aaron bringing up the fact they didn't break up. You don't need to create drama with a fucking rock band playing in front of Live Aid. And Freddie Mercury's your front man.
Well, chances are, if you dug a little deeper, you might be able to find something.
Do you remember, remember the Buddy Holly story?
Yeah.
They removed one of the crickets. There were four crickets, and then there were three in the movie. Imagine if you're cricket number four.
Yeah.
What?
What? You're gone.
Yeah.
It's not a plane crash. Plane crashes don't sell well. We're just going to have them get into a bad argument on a bus, and that's why they broke up. Yeah, no, they died in a fucking plane. Yeah, what are you talking about?
Yeah, that fourth cricket didn't test well, so they had to take him out.
Yeah, it's so weird.
The stuff, I mean, and they just glossed over his sexuality being demonized because everyone was, when AIDS first happened in the 80s, it was like, oh, the gays are, they're the gay cancer.
Right.
And judge the gay community and all this other shit. They just sort of glossed over that a little bit. And I was like, spend more time on that versus this fabricated breakup.
Well, right. I wonder, well, too, and if now, that if happened any in the editing point. Room. Because,
oh,
you know,
oh, yeah,
because,
yeah.
You know, and another director came in and just, you know, just kind of probably looked at the footage. And yeah, it was maybe could be, you know, you don't know. Or the studios came in, you know, because if you have no one steering the ship, you know.
Right. Who knows? That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a little unfortunate because Rami Malek does such a great job. And as you say, the band, all those actors do a great job. The woman that plays his wife.
Fantastic
job. Mm-hmm. The, you know, his friend who becomes his lover, who becomes very toxic. Like that, those key characters are like the lawyer who gets sort of elevated. Like, did all that happen, the firing of them? We'll get into this in the spoiler ep, but like, anyway.
It's just funny, too, when you talk about the runtime. It seems like this is a common thing these days where almost every movie is 20 minutes too long.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. What was interesting about this movie, it was very specific where it was.
Oh, okay.
It's like, oh, you could cut that scene.
Yeah,
and then you'd have 20 minutes less.
There's nothing wrong with an hour and 45-minute movie.
No,
nothing not at wrong all. With it. Especially even when you have like, or if you're going to, you have to justify that longer running time. Like if you're going to have a 2-hour and 20-minute biopic on Queen and specifically on Freddie Mercury, you have to show me all those things that, you know, that give the human drama. You know, you can't show...
Yeah,
like,
get into it.
You know, you can't show a concert scene that we've already seen, that, like you said, as footage of that is going on for way too long. It was weird. Like, I felt like there was stuff missing from this movie.
Uh-huh.
Like you were saying too, like, you know, the actual human drama, like everything just felt like, well, we're just going to kind of scratch the surface. We're not really going to get into it too deeply.
And also, when a director's not showing up and cast is getting frustrated and a guy and they got to replace it. I mean, that's like,
yeah, that's never a good,
that's
thing.
A ball club that, like, of course they didn't win the championship because the coach got fired, even with this A-list team, you know, that's like, that's unfair. That's unfair to the actors.
Yeah. Right. It's like, how was the Han Solo movie going to be amazing? It's, you know, when you have another director come in and shoot 80%
of the
movie. What
you guys think of that one?
Yeah.
Seriously. No. See, I'm in the same boat.
No, I'm not.
How do you like that?
Mm-hmm.
And because everybody was, oh, this is good. This is great.
Yeah.
You're going to love Star Wars again.
No.
And I thought it was.
No. Who are you talking
like,
to?
Like, I mean, it was,
Yeah.
I was bored.
Yeah. It was very,
And I don't blame the cast. I thought the cast was fine. But,
well, you know, to be fair, they shot two movies. So they had to work twice as hard.
Yeah. And that story is like the lamest caper film. Like, I can give you 100 other caper movies that you'll enjoy way more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a disappointment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There was cool Easter eggs in there that we all went, oh, yeah.
Oh, hey.
The Kessel Run.
Yeah, but that's not enough to hang a movie on.
Nope. Hey, he said a thing from the other thing
remember
that I like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember now.
I like both those things.
Yeah. I remember that when it came out in the 70s. I remember now. I remember that joke that you're referencing now.
That's a very
the most academic fucking response. I remember the date that showed up.
It's like a 40-year callback.
And look how much work we're putting into it. So, all right. So we'll get
as the biggest Queen fan. Before you move on in the room, I loved it. So,
all right,
you loved it.
Wow. Loved it.
Okay,
I was in tears at the end. Rami Malek was amazing. Loved it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Look past
Are
all
you
the
depressed at this time?
No.
I'm just curious.
No, not
just want to make sure
so,
you're.
No, I'm Aaron, all right.
I'm all right.
We'll
I knew
get
the
into
end.
This more in the spoiler, but just real quick.
Sure.
What overall, listening to all of our complaints, just what were you just like, what was the one thing that made you love it so much?
I think the performance, I didn't think it was going to be as good as it was. I didn't think.
Always a good way to go in to anything.
Yeah.
Anarchist folk, same thing.
Just, I love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you just
laser were, show.
You were so so. Just Rami Malek's performance was enough for you to carry it through any.
And the rest of the band and the clear fun they were having and yeah.
All right.
Did you guys like the Doors
movie?
Yeah,
I did.
Oh yeah, yeah. I liked that movie.
See, I liked it. I think it's, and I think Val Kilmer's amazing.
Fantastic.
Did a great job. He's the best part of the movie.
He even sang. That's his voice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I felt the movie kind of bogged down in places where it shouldn't, because it's Jim Morrison, for Christ's sakes. Like, it's, you know, that's going to be, should be a vibrant, exciting, interesting story all the way through. But
my favorite part of the movie was when the house got filled with popcorn.
But you got to give Val Kilmer credit for it, because that, as you were talking about having a, you know, a name, a star play a real person, and I really got lost in that performance. I thought he did an amazing job.
He did an amazing job.
Did an amazing job, and he at the time was a bigger star than Rami Malek is.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, Val Kilmer was a huge name. Yeah, at huge. The time.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And it was Oliver Stone. It was like, oh wow, I love that film. Yeah.
Yeah, all right. That's good. All right. So now I'm going to talk about this movie briefly, The Visit, because I haven't seen an M. Night movie in a long time. And I
got to remember if I've seen this.
And this was the movie where the kids go visit their grandparents in suburban Pennsylvania.
Oh, God, no.
And you know, because my daughter's really into horror movies now, and she's like trying, and I'm trying to steer her in the right direction. Like, this is one I did not steer towards. And as we're watching it, I'll tell you this. It was an interesting premise. Like, it's set up like, you know,
great
it's
premise.
Something weird where, like, you know, the mother is estranged. She sends her kids to live with the grandparents for like a week to get reacquainted with them because she's estranged from them. Which, although also a red flag. Well, you haven't seen your parents in years. You're just going to toss your kids off to them for a week.
Right, right.
That's a little weird.
Yes.
And then they're into some weird shit. Some weird shit's going on with the grandparents.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, interesting premise. It goes off the rails so quickly and so stupidly.
It does.
That you're every scene after that, you're like, well, this can't get any dumber.
This
and
is
then
just
it
nonsense.
Does.
Yes.
And then it literally does. And then there's
And then the kid's
rapping.
Son.
Yeah.
He raps.
Yeah. Yeah.
Throughout the movie, there's a rapping white kid.
Yes, that's like 8 or 10 years old, or no, he's 10 years old or something, or no, or he's 13. It doesn't matter. But he, I think it was 13.
Somebody's kid won a talent show, and then we got to put him in a movie.
Yeah, and I'm like, was this movie set in the 80s? And I'm like, no.
No, it's
not.
It's bad.
Yeah, and it's a found footage movie, too, so there's always an excuse for somebody to be holding a camera or setting up a camera, and a lot of that stuff doesn't work, and all the scares are not scary and completely manufactured.
The only good part of that movie... Mm-hmm. are the grandparents.
Yeah. Acting wise, they're really
they are
and odd
wonderful. Mm-hmm. They were great. And it's just everything else is wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. From start to finish.
Well, here's the thing why there's going to see more of these. The budget on this was $5 million. We talked about this when this movie came out. M. Night did a very smart thing. He just raised really low. He went low budget and budget again, $5 million.
He probably paid for it himself. Probably, I think this one he paid for himself or split. One of them he did. He just threw his own money in.
Its cumulative worldwide gross is $98 million.
Wow.
He cleared $65 million in the U.S., a $25 million opening weekend. So,
oh, it's because it's a Blumhouse. Oh, yeah. They do those movies on the cheap. And
Yeah.
And I couldn't name one actor in it.
No.
Like, it's all, you know, low-budget character. Yeah. You know, the money didn't go into the cast. But you know, the kid rapping, I'm like, what are you
it's
doing?
So stupid.
What are you doing?
And they hit that beat again and again and again. It's
And it's
supposed to be this like kind of comic relief.
Yes. And then it's like, he's going to rap over the credits too. Off.
Yes.
I'm done.
Yes.
What did your daughter think of it?
So she thought it was ridiculous and stupid. Like, now, I will say this, that we both were a little interested in, like, because the setup was a little interesting and creepy. But it just, it's like 15, 20 minutes in, you're like, I'm done. Now I'm just watching it. I'm like, hate watching it.
Did you like Split?
Finish it. I haven't seen Split yet, but that's next on my list. You know, I heard Split is like the one that returns.
I enjoyed that. Yeah, and it's a great McAvoy.
Yes,
does an amazing job. Like,
I'll probably check it out.
He's the movie.
But I will say this. M. Night has wasted far too much of my time already. So I
yeah,
don't know.
I understand.
It's but it was...
He's hurt us all.
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you. And the other thing, too, is it's like it's in that PG-13, like, well, is it a kid's horror movie?
Yeah,
is it a horror movie?
No.
What is it? What is this movie trying to be? And it's nothing.
World War Z. It's like the same thing. It's like you're riding the line, and I need you to cross that to make this thing work.
Or lean one way or the other.
Right.
You know, make this, okay, this is House with a Clock in Its Walls. It's a horror movie for, you know, tweens or whatever. Or it's a, well, even that was marketed improperly. They marketed
I want either
Harry
Dawn
Potter.
Of the Dead or Goosebumps.
Yeah, yeah. Not...
Those are your choices.
Yes. That's it. You have two choices. Choose a team.
So, yeah. So, and I'll tell you.
That should be the barometer
for every movie. Every movie. Yeah.
So it's also a movie that they didn't know what to do with or how to market, but you know, it definitely clearly it found an audience.
Now, I
really feel like this is like Blair Witch though. It made money, it found its audience, but most people that saw it hated it. Like that kind of thing where, you know, oh, Blair Witch made a ton of money. Yeah, but most
Did you guys
people
like
saw
Blair
it, hated
Witch?
It. I liked it,
really?
But there was a huge
You didn't like it? I was like I was in that movie. I got a headache. This is the first like
Did you see it in the theater?
Yep.
That was the problem.
Yeah. I got a headache and was like And the thing I've said about this movie forever, I was like, I've always said this. It's like watching Jaws, and all you saw was dun 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 dun, and the shark never jumps out of the water.
Yeah, you never see the shark.
It does.
No, it's just the kid in the corner. Then the thing, I didn't see the witch.
That's the shark, man. No. I don't want to. You don't want to see the witch.
I do.
No,
I want to see a fucking witch eat a child.
When I see the guy, well, that's another movie, and I do want to see that. I do want to see that as well. I can't deny.
But that's Hansel and Gretel.
So. But the boy against the wall, like, I just...
Oh, creep me out.
Oh,
yeah.
I love that.
That
I love
was
that.
Creepy, no. But it took way too long to get to
but
that.
But I will say, I think that you seeing it in the theater, because most people got the headache, it's not a film that's really meant. When I saw it, I think Dana Gould gave it to me on, like, VHS.
But that was part
perfect
of the,
way to see
that
it,
That was
right?
part of the marketing campaign.
Yeah.
So everyone would talk about it before it came out.
Yeah. And so for you going, you now have, like, a Pavlovian response to the movie because you associate it with pain, physical pain. It's Clockwork Orange now.
I had a headache and I was bored.
Well, I will say this. The remake that they did.
I heard that was really terrible.
It was the same movie with a budget of $10 more.
Why? Why do that?
It made no sense. Like, at first, I'm like, oh, maybe this is a sequel. Like, one of the siblings is looking for her brother that disappeared, like, out of the first
Oh, okay.
But then the exact same beats happen. The exact same thing happened. They finally get to the cabin at the end. I mean, you do get to see the witch at some point, but it's very, you know, just a little bit. But it's like, well, this is the exact same movie. Why would I be interested at all in seeing this?
We found another camera again.
Yeah.
You know what's funny is I really love a found footage movie. A good one. Mm-hmm. But I love it when it's done right. Like those Paranormal Activity movies, I love those movies.
Right.
I think they're really great. Mm-hmm. It's just that it's got to be done right.
Well, have you this is a good transition. Have you seen any good horror movies lately?
Well, you know, speaking of a found footage movie, and I want to I've got some notes here myself, but there's a movie that I saw the sequel recently of this film, and
I like a guest that brings notes.
there's a movie that was 2014 called Creep, and it's this film where it's like this guy hires this videographer to shoot him, and it's like he's got some sort of brain cancer, and he's... wants to have this record of his life for his wife and kid. But what you find out gradually as this film goes along is that this guy is not right. And
Mark Duplass.
Bad things. And Mark Duplass is a genius.
Yeah.
He plays the title character. In this film, he's called...
And he's also one of the writers, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's called Joseph in the in the original. Then they did a sequel. The sequel is not as good. But once again, you need to go...
Was this where he's like just stalks somebody with like a bag over his head? Was this that movie?
No. Well, this one he wears like a wolf mask.
I'm thinking of, I think they're literally, they made a movie called Baghead or something.
I have to say, now I have to see that too. But the Creep 1 and 2 is not as good. Mm-hmm. But again, just for Mark Duplass, is that's the reason to show up, because he is so good. His performances are so creepy and weird and unnerving and funny and creepy, and who's ever heard of him?
Right.
He's
done a ton of stuff, too.
It gets me so annoyed, too.
I think you need to start saying Indie Darling Mark Duplass.
Indie Darling. I will from now on. And he is my darling, yeah. I feel like. He is my Indie Darling. But, yeah, I since the last couple Oscars, I've been – and it was nice that Get Out got the attention that it did. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, like – that should open the door, crack open the door for horror movies now, because there's so many great performances that I'm seeing in horror movies. Like Hereditary, I thought was wonderful. Mm-hmm. So many great performances. Such a great, scary story, you know, when, you know, you basically, you know, the gist of it is, you know, there's something wrong with your family, especially there's daughter. This is it's Toni Collette, and Toni Collette has this daughter who's kind of a misfit, and something bad happens to her, and then that's like about a third into the film, and there's a lot of weird stuff that's going on. But
I heard it's really scary.
It's really scary. It's scary. It's creepy. It's really well acted. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of scares that you don't see coming. Like, I'm so annoyed at Hill House, The Haunting of Hill House. Yeah. Everybody's like, oh, it's so great. No, it's not. Go see some other movies.
I liked it.
But if you... No.
It would be a Matt Weinold episode really hate something we love.
No. Oh, you've seen all those scares before. If I hear one more goddamn monologue from those people, it's just soap opera writing. No. See Hereditary. Just watch that on a loop until that fucking Hill House show is over. That's what gets me, is that there's this kind of like user friendly horror now. Like, this will get you in if you don't like to be too scared. But like, no, jump in the deep end. That's where you need to go. And I thought, yeah, Hereditary is amazing. And
I think my favorite line was when a guest who saw it said that, I said, well, how scary was it? And he goes, well, that night I did leave the light on a little longer than I normally would before.
I had a nightmare.
Yeah.
I had a nightmare.
That's a good movie.
Yes. Yeah. I had a nightmare, and I woke up and I was like, oh, that really scared me. And it's this guy's Ari Aster. It's his debut film. Mm-hmm. Incredible. Now, how much do you bet that will not be on the Oscar roster?
No. Mm-hmm.
I just don't see it happening.
No, but I agree. When we said this last year, we were really hoping – I hope Get Out does kind of open the doorway for horror.
For sure.
To get more mainstream and show it for the amazing genre that it is.
Yeah.
And there's all these great filmmakers and actors and writers that are coming out of it.
Because right now, horror has a split personality right now. We're finally getting some good stuff. Like, you know, even studios are finally – we're getting Get Out – It and like, you know, there's some good studio horror movies now that took years to find.
And then on the other hand, we have the dumb Conjuring movies and the you know, like all that kind of nonsense.
Well, which is and now normally, like, the indies would be where like some really innovative horrors is going on. However, Netflix is buying up all the really shitty horror movies and putting them on.
Yeah, although I'm trying to remember where I saw this. No, I think it was on.
But then you've got like Chiller. You've got all these new streaming horror movies, but they have no content. So they're buying up all the stuff that's like at the bottom of the barrel. There isn't enough good horror movies, especially indie, that are actually being made.
Well, I would disagree with that, because I think that just like anything, most of everything is going to suck. But then there are going to be some standouts, and I think there are some really good ones. I saw two great Nicolas Cage horror vehicles.
Oh, Mandy.
Mandy,
yeah.
I thought was... Now, Mandy's the type of film that I normally would not like. Like, as I'm watching the beginning of it, if it starts off, if it's too artsy-fartsy right out of the gate, which I felt Mandy was, and, you know, playing with the different lenses and the... Like, everything was kind of... I know it was trying to go for a dreamlike quality, I thought it was too much, though.
Let me stop you there, because I got to mention this, because everyone I've talked to about Mandy has the exact same reaction you just gave me, where they loved it, they can't describe it, and it's hard for them to talk about it.
It's not hard for me to talk about it. It's very plain and clear. Listen to me, America and the world.
No, I mean the content. It's hard to like. It's hard to talk about like the content of the film without like giving stuff away or like.
Well, that's
like,
true.
Or even like
yeah,
the,
that's true.
Like the trailer. Like I saw the trailer. And I'm like, well, is there like ghosts or supernatural stuff in this movie? And I talked to him. And he's like, no.
I can give one like spoiler away,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Nicolas Cage, his wife is kidnapped by an evil cult. Not hippies, but hippie-esque. hippie-adjacent.
Hippie, okay, okay, yes, okay, yeah. cool.
But so now, you know, he's trying to get her back. He's on this revenge quest. Mm-hmm. And so within this story, there's these creatures. Initially, you think they're creatures. You think that they're like demons or something. But they're not. They're actually this weird group of bikers who dress in sort of like a road warrior type getup, mm-hmm. and they speak in a really weird kind of way, and they're not demons. What happened is that they took this really strong acid that screwed up their minds like permanently, and so now they're like they've acid turned them into these otherworldly beasts. And that alone should get you into the theater.
And that's not...
Or your living room.
Yeah. Now, that doesn't spoil the whole movie. That's just a small part of
if
it.
That, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But there's so much great stuff. And so we start the film. My wife and I were watching it. And it's like, I don't know. This is a little... And then all of a sudden, it hits its stride. And you go, okay, this is great. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I strongly recommend that one. And okay. And I would also recommend Mom and Dad with Nicolas Cage and Selma Blair.
Where I didn't see that one.
That was a lot of fun. It's not on the same level. It's two very different type of movies. Mm-hmm. But Mom and Dad, very high concept.
Right.
All of a sudden, parents want to kill their kids. And that's it. That's all you need to know.
Wow. I mean,
go in, enjoy.
So Nicolas Cage. One of Nicolas Cage's Christian film paychecks. That won't be.
this isn't a faith-based movie. The parents murdering their kids.
There was an element of faith that it struck in my heart.
All right, so one more before our ad read. let's do one more.
What's
from you. One more film.
Oh, one more film? Yeah, oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I already told you about I Drink Your Blood.
Which yes.
You need to see that one because, again, like I said, the... But here's one I really enjoyed. Oh, okay. This is a great one. There's a movie. It's 2016. It's called A Dark Song. Mm-hmm. Dark Song is this woman. It's British, and her child is killed during some sort of a cult ritual.
You're big in the cult. Anytime a cult goes
it's
wrong,
it's a horror movie. I love cults because I like community. You know what I mean?
I feel like you have a Google alert set up for cults.
I do love cult. The Rajneesh, Bhagwan Rajneesh thing.
That was so great. Yeah,
like I love that kind of stuff. But so this woman, her kid is killed, and so she wants to get revenge. And so what she does to get revenge is she gets this sort of like supernatural practitioner guy to help her do this spell that will open a direct line to these gods. It's kind of unclear initially whether they're dark gods or good gods or neutral, but she's trying to do this spell, and the spell takes like a week. It takes a long time. And so the whole movie is her just trying to, you know, withstand the rigors of doing all the things that this occult practitioner guy is telling her to do to get this spell to work. And it's really great because as you go along in the movie, you are kind of right along with her of like, is this all bullshit? Is this guy really just, you know, conning me? And is this going nowhere? And then things start to happen, and it's so good and really creepy and a very unusual ending.
A dark song. Okay,
yes.
We'll check it out.
Liam Gavin is the director, and great stuff.
All right, you know I think we need to.
I could go on forever, but that's a whole nother show.
Yeah, with Matt, we'll do another one. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this episode is brought to you today by ZipRecruiter. There's some smart things and some not so smart things you can do when hiring people. You know, there's job sites that send you tons of the wrong resumes to sort through. That's not smart. And job sites that make you wait for the right candidates to apply for your job, that's also not smart. But what is smart? Going to ZipRecruiter.com/CFM to hire the right person. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful matching technology scans thousands of resumes, identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job, and actively invites them to apply so you get qualified candidates fast. That's why ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers in the U.S. And right now, you guys, our listeners, Comedy Film Nerds listeners, can try ZipRecruiter for free.
What?
Yes. What? Because, you know, we all have, we got the little side hustles, and sometimes you need some help.
You need some help.
Yeah. And all you got to do is go to ZipRecruiter.com/CFN. That's ZipRecruiter.com/CFN. ZipRecruiter.com/CFN. And Graham, you're not going to believe this, but we are almost at capacity on our Patreon ad.
Thank you guys so much, the Patreon ad tier people.
So we have a couple new ones here for November. Now, one of them, I will say, Maria, you haven't sent me your ad copy yet, so please send it in.
Come on, Maria.
To info@comedyfilmnerds.com. I sent you an email, so I'm waiting to hear back, but we're at, like, I think we're at, like, 7 right now, and I think our max is 10. We won't go past 10. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's do it. Thank you so much, Patreon.
Guys, this is a great way to support the show and promote your business. And anybody listening, go to these. If any of these Patreon things sound cool,
yeah, check them out.
Check them out. So then let them know I heard about you on Comedy Humors.
I'm gonna mix it up.
When you hit like $40, do you get to join a cult or anything like that?
Yes, we do have a
cult tier.
We do have a satanic hippie sex cult tier.
But you have to help set up the altar.
Yeah. Well, you know me.
Yeah, you got to call Matt to help you.
I'm union.
Yeah.
Matt is a cult union carpenter.
And this is from Scott Ryan Hart. He has The Night Watchman, a story about a hero who clubs down evil with flashlights and shines them into the darkness when that guy is not working his day job at the Home Depot. It's an illustrated novel that will be contributed to by over 30 artists, ranging from fantasy game illustrators, cartographers, storybook illustrators, to well-known comic artists. He's doing a Kickstarter, so it's more graphic than a novel, but more novel than a graphic novel. So go to 9thpointstudio.com. That's the number 9, thpointstudio.com. And Rebecca Evans, The Arts Podcast. When we move past hesitation, we're true to ourselves. We find our own art in life. If you want to hear some fun stories and get inspired, check out The Art at facebook.com/theartpodcasts.
We've both done that one.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Rebecca and I recorded near the beach at my house and had an amazing conversation. Mm-hmm. It was really good stuff.
And Alice Frazier, co-host of the Bugle Podcast and Tea with Alice, brings you a series of 3 genre-bending solo stand-up shows that explore the boundary between comedy and tragedy. The shows were recorded back-to-back as a 3-hour show at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival in April 2018 with a binaural microphone, which creates an immensely immersive listening experience. Just Google Alice Frazier Trilogy for more info.
Just real backstory. This is the way a lot of like the UK and Australian comics work. Is that it's like in Australia, it's festival season basically from February through about May, and they'll write and come up with a new sort of hour, and they'll workshop it through and do all these shows through the festivals in February and March, and then come April, May, they'll record their albums about it. So it's a really cool way of working. Whereas, you know, us in the States, we're always on the road kind of hoping to turn over new material or whatever.
Right.
Like Will Anderson has done this a bunch. He has, I don't know, 19 or 20 albums or whatever. So it's a really cool way of working. And that's what you're getting to hear when you listen to Alice Frazier.
And to keep it fresh.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
It's a whole new hour. And she's got 3 hours. It's amazing that they put in this much work.
And from Chris Parker Howard, the podcast Coffee Over Suicide, it's a dramedy podcast about mental illness and choosing life over death, one cup of coffee at a time. New episodes every Friday, wherever podcasts are found. Find out more at coffeeoversuicide.com. That's coffeeoversuicide.com. And Graham and I will be on that one as well, where we're still scheduling that. The Audacity Performing Arts produces after-school performing arts projects in poor, underfunded, and low-performing schools. Performing arts education is not a luxury. Check them out at audacityperformingarts.com. That's audacityperformingarts.com. It's a good cause. Check it out. And Johnny Rulon has got his novel, Green Cheek, A Junkie's Guide to Street Magic. It's on Amazon in both digital and hard copy. It's an experimental stream of consciousness novel which follows the exploits of the muse Calliope and her mortal lover T.S. on a journey through time, dreams, and the hidden places of a supernatural America. The website is happyhorrorshowproductions.com. That's happyhorrorshowproductions.com. All right. Thanks, Patronies.
Thank you, guys. Go to patreon.com/comedyfilmnerds, and you can support the show for as little as a dollar a month.
All right. Let's talk about some trailers.
Oh.
There is a new How to Train Your Dragon movie coming out.
Okay. All right. Let's do it. I love the first one and the second one. Oh, my God. That's good.
Yeah. There's also shows too, like How to Train Your Dragon. They've done a bunch of seasons of television as well. So, you know, I always thought too, like at first, like, well, you know, do they drop down the level of animation for the show to make the movie more special? And I think they were doing that at first, but now they're
before them. But out there, beyond the edge of the world, lies the home of the dragons.
That this looks like a higher rank.
And I believe it's your destiny to one day find this hidden world.
You do know my leg isn't a chew toy, don't you?
Is this what you want? Yeah, go get it.
How am I supposed to get down?
I think how to
Who's
train
the
a
guy?
Dragon in.
Hey, bud, wait up.
Who's the voice?
Nerdy McGillicuddy. I forget his name.
Jay Burke. Yeah.
Jay Burke. Josh Wolf is making obscene gestures through the window watching.
Right.
A light fury.
Yeah, yours is better.
Oh, well, yeah, that's why I didn't. Weird. Why wouldn't you do that? Why wouldn't you do that? How dare you tease us?
What? Then you'd be one more hard person.
This is a new kind of enemy. We need to find the hidden world.
I won't destroy everything.
Yeah, I won't say DreamWorks Animation. How to Train a Dragon and Kung Fu Panda are their best properties. Fight the bar.
You're nothing without your dragon.
Turkeys were great. I've not seen one of them.
You know, I liked the first one. I didn't like the second one as much, but this third one looks great.
To put an end to it.
So, what are you going to do about it?
Shoot up, gang.
Shoot up?
Yeah, they're all heroin users. That's you didn't know.
That's a nice twist.
You brought a baby to a battle? I couldn't find a sitter.
So he's not even really in this fantasy land. He's just wasted.
Yeah.
Riding his uncle.
Hidden world. It really does exist.
It's also one of those rare animated movie franchises where you see the character's age and redo the character model.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, like if you look at
how
Hiccup looks now, it's vastly different than the first movie.
And Hiccup is the dragon?
No, Hiccup is the guy riding in the dragon.
That dragon's getting older.
My only concern is, are they just going to keep, are they kind of repeating the same story of like, someone wants to kill the dragons and we got to rescue,
you know? I'm hoping that doesn't happen, so we'll see.
I loved the first one. The second one was a good sequel.
The other thing they're doing too is they're exhausting a lot of plot lines by, you know, they have a show now too. So you've got like, you know, Race to the Edge and all these other things. So you've got all these storylines that they're kind of using up on the TV show. So what's left for the movies?
I just need to ask something about some of the, because I used to go to any kind of animated thing, and then there was like this run of a bunch of these animated films where it just was like, no matter what the premise was, there was always like a bunch of animated kids that spoke really quickly, and like that was and that was supposed to be hilarious, and I just checked out for a while.
Yeah,
like, well, what happened? Big Hero 6 was like, I wanted to kill myself in that one.
It got saturated.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what happened. But, you know, these are kind of the ones that rise to the top a little bit, like the How to Train Your Dragons and Kung Fu Panda.
I heard that was great.
Yeah, yeah. And but it's stuff like Sing, you know, movies like that.
Yeah, there's
and
no
like
way that
the Madagascar movies. You know, those are the ones you're like, oh, my God.
I will say this, too, about these movies, the dragon movies. They're actually great to watch in 3D.
Because
really feel like you're flying around on a dragon.
That's, yeah, that sounds
that's
great.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
So I'll see this.
Yeah,
I've seen
for
the first
sure.
two. I'll see it.
All right, let's see. Isn't It Romantic?
Trailer. Mm-hmm. Something crazy's going to happen, guys.
It's going to be insane.
Pretty woman.
It's just a movie.
You see, Natalie, life's not a fairy tale. Girls like us don't get that.
But why?
Look in the mirror, doll. We're not Julia Roberts.
Jennifer Saunders.
Yep.
Every day is payday. Swipe my card.
What are you talking about?
Natalie is saying that romantic comedies are bad.
All those movies are lies. It's a terrible pop songs.
I think people would have an easier time seeing you if you were a little more open.
Hey, I'm Jack.
Natalie.
Give me the fence. Why does this shit always happen to me?
Little Sandra Bullocky with the bumping into stuff.
Where am I?
Well, the, this, is the,
this is an inciting incident. This is at Williams Sonoma. Make them away
downtown. It looks like somebody's put a beauty filter across New York City.
911, what's your emergency?
Someone's broken into my apartment and they've taken everything and replaced it all with much nicer stuff.
So your emergency is that your apartment is too big.
I beg to differ.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was.
Yeah.
I think I might be going crazy.
I hit my head really hard, and I woke up in this alternate universe.
And now I have a gay sidekick who's setting gay rights back like 100 years.
I love working the legs.
Jesus! And guys looking me in the eyes.
You're quite beguiling, aren't you?
Are you feeling what I'm feeling?
No!
Oh, my God.
I think I'm trapped in a... My life's become a mother... romantic comedy! And it's PG-13!
Postmodern romantic comedy.
I have to get a man to fall in love with me.
Boom, 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 yes!
I'm Josh.
That is such a beautiful name.
Good morning, beautiful.
Last night was amazing.
I didn't think we actually did anything and just cut to the next morning.
What?
Just get back here.
Okay.
Good morning, beautiful.
Last night was amazing. Natalie, I love
So it's interesting that it's such an obvious premise that, like, why did it take so long for some dumb studio marketing department to finally greenlight it?
Yeah. I don't... The premise part of it?
I mean, I like Rebel Wilson, but
see,
I
have yet to discover the deep vein of hilarity that runs through the Rebel. Like, I mean, it's all, she's all right, but mm-hmm. like, really a star of a movie?
Wow, we're all speechless. How did that happen? Aaron, say something.
I love the idea that I love the premise of we're going to mock romantic comedies.
Yes, I do too.
I love that premise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And show the ridiculousness of it and the stereotypes mm-hmm. and
but
all
that seems like a very small part of the movie.
Yeah. So I don't know. I know that this is a movie I will most assuredly watch on a plane 9 months after it comes out. And yes. I will let you know how that goes.
I'm going to watch the cut down Super 8 version.
Yeah. on your own home projector?
Exactly, yeah.
So now, if she bumped her head and was in some sort of satanic hippie cult, Matt, you would be on board.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That movie needs to be made. It's right in front of you.
It's right in front of you. Romantic comedy, then there's a horrifying cult in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Like, does he love me? Does he mean sassy best friend? And then...
But yet, you're still hitting all the beats.
Yes.
And because she ends up falling in love... With
the high priest.
The high priest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they come from two different worlds. Oh, my God. I can get funding, I think, immediately for this.
She likes smooth jazz. He likes blood sacrifices. Yeah. Will this work out? I want something else.
Drink my blood. We've made it. We've made this movie.
God damn it. I want to see this movie more than...
You've sold
thank
me.
Thank you. See?
Right. Yeah, I'm there.
I like how we always all just come together at the very end.
Yeah,
I mean... No feelings hurt.
If Overlord can mix monsters and World War II action, why can't we mix, you know...
At the end of both of their lives, Malcolm X and Dr. King became good friends, and they overlapped a lot of their views.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to DVD and Blu-ray. Incredibles 2.
Liked it? Fun?
Yeah, it was fun.
I didn't see it yet, but I heard it was okay.
It's good. And
some moments to it are a little
A little long, and what's weird is, like, there was a... It's funny you mentioned speeches. Like, for an animated movie, this movie had a lot of speeches in it that were long, and I'm thinking, like, what are the animators, like, looking at a script going, I got to animate just a guy talking for 5 minutes? This makes no sense.
That was my one problem with this movie. The first one is really great, so it's a hard act to follow.
Yes, right.
It's sort of like Kung Fu Panda.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, there was some really cool stuff in it, but that was my problem, as I remember now. There was a lot of, like, talking and... It's just like, no, have the family go out and kick ass. That's the thing I want to see.
So there definitely was some great stuff on it. But that, you know, those minor gripes aside, it was a fun, good movie. But it is also weird, like these, you know, release windows. Like Disney's very specific. Like it took a long time for this one to come out, where some of these other movies haven't been in the theaters for more than a couple months.
Right.
Like Black Klansman. This is the Spike Lee film. You saw this.
I loved it. I thought it was really cool.
I heard it was good.
It was really good, really entertaining, really interesting, sure. based on a true story.
Mm-hmm. And Christopher Robin, this was the sort of biopic for A.A. Milne, but it also kind of showed him, you know, seeing the actual characters, and it was like a mix of animation and live action. So, I don't know. This got like mixed reviews, and it just kind of came and went, but...
This is the Pooh Christopher Robin, right?
Yeah. There were basically two movies about the author. One, I think, came out last year, I believe.
Who wrote who did the song, Christopher Robin? The Danger Zone dude.
Kenny Loggins?
Kenny Loggins, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
that song always...
the Danger Zone dude.
Speaking of which, that song, it really annoys me.
Well, Aaron, what was the name of the other A. Milne movie? Was it Finding Christopher Robin? Let's look that one up because it had what did
I don't
it,
want to
it had
Loggins wrote that song in high school.
Yeah,
did he have any kind of anger?
Yeah, it had Margot Robbie in it. This was like her trying to kind of
Christopher Robin. Wait,
yeah, it had that was now that's the Ewan McGregor one, but then there was another one. It had like a much more cumbersome title. I don't remember, like more like Searching for something.
Winnie the Pooh?
Yeah.
Sometimes the answer's right in front of you.
But it had Margot Robbie in it, and then it had another like an actor that's been in literally everything. What's his name from Star Wars? The latest Star Wars movie.
This is just...
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And anyway. All right, we'll look that up later.
I don't know anything about it. I say wait.
Yeah. The next one is Papillon, which I found really odd that they remade this movie.
They remade Papillon?
Yeah, they did.
Why?
And
exactly.
Yeah, like what?
If you want to see want to hear this story, go watch Steve McQueen, Dustin Hoffman.
By the way, we found it in the movie. First it was, one.
It, you know? It was goodbye, Christopher Robin.
All right,
Chris. But it came in last year. Papillon was a weird thing. Like even as I'm watching the trailer, I'm thinking, why does this exist? What's the purpose or point of this film? Audiences agreed. They did. No one really saw this film.
If you never saw the original, let this be your impetus to go
to go actually see the original.
It's fantastic.
I hope this movie getting made more people see the original.
I mean, two actors at like the top of their game,
based on a true story. Yeah. This epic prison thing. Mm-hmm. Come on. Two guys that have done a bunch of prison movies, Straight Time, Dustin Hoffman and Don.
Yeah.
The Great Escape. I don't know. Anyone ever heard of that?
One of the greatest movies ever made?
Come on.
I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah.
We should remake The Sting.
Yes.
By the way, I have to tell you, my dad, we watched The Great Escape, and my dad likes movies to end with a happy ending.
Ooh.
And
spoiler alert.
Yeah. And he watched that. He was so angry at the end of The Great Escape. And I go, Dad, it's based on a true story. I don't care. Really? You're going to change history? And Lincoln pulls out of it. Okay.
Well, you know, could you have just stopped the film when they showed one guy getting away?
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah. That's a good idea.
Yeah, could have you just stopped
John
it there?
Wilkes Booth just grazed Lincoln. He served two terms. He did a lot of great stuff.
Do a series of dad edits on everything. Thelma and Louise.
They made it over the Grand Canyon. Hey, we did it!
They made the jump like Evel Knievel.
high five as they land on the other side. Evel Knievel couldn't, but we could.
Yeah. So also on the website, we do have, we're still going with a free t-shirt with every t-shirt order. Still going. We've got plenty of t-shirts left. Don't worry. There's a free t-shirt for you. All you got to do is buy one. We'll get you a
Christmas
free
season.
One. And downloads are working now. The message boards are back up. Say hi to Charlene. There's also some
hi, Charlene.
There's also some discussions going on what you guys want on the message board. So and it's great because we're kind of rebuilding these from the oh, now see, you made it creepy. That's weird.
Why am I? Why is this creepy, Charlene? Yeah.
This is Brian Singer.
You want to come to my? You want to come up to Topanga Canyon?
Yeah. Can I call you Charlie?
I just should be shooting a movie, but I'm not going to go for 3 days.
I've been wandering in the forest for 3 days.
Yeah. I'm the witch in Blair Witch Project. I'll make you stand in the corner.
Want to hear me sound like a baby?
So check out the message boards. Be part of the conversation. And also, you could give suggestions on what you want to see as we rebuild them and restart them. So Crab Feast merch is almost gone on the site. All we have left is the all JUCO shirts and the hats.
Once it's gone, it never comes back.
They're going fast, too. So if you are a Crab Feast fan and you want to some merch, you got to get it now. And premiering this week, Graham, Girl in the Spider's Web, : A New Dragon Tattoo Story.
I'm excited to see it. I like these. I like the books. I like the movies.
Winner for most awkward title.
Yeah, so, it is clunkety clunkety.
Now, it is not based on the original author's work. This is based on a book that was written after his death. And so I'm not sure. I have mixed feelings about it because the original stories were so good that I don't know how well, when somebody else kind of takes over, how it's going to look. So I don't know. I'm on the fence about it. I like the characters. I like the story. So we'll see.
I'll see it.
Yeah. The Grinch, another completely unnecessary children's film. I'm like, we've already had enough Grinch projects. We don't need any more. We're done. Yeah. So I like Benny Cumberpatch, but
Benny Cumbo.
Yeah, but even he sounds bored as the Grinch.
Always.
Yeah. I'll be going to see Overlord this
weekend.
We're
gonna do a spoiler up on Overlord.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I cannot wait to
Are you gonna see this, Matt?
You're gonna
What's
see
Overlord?
Overlord? Hello,
Nazi demons! Come on, yeah. World War II.
World War II. They behind enemy lines. Nazi experiments.
Oh,
crazy demons.
Oh yeah. Okay.
No, come see it.
I hope. I hope it's good.
Go see it and then do the spoiler with us next week.
Okay. The problem with
No. I just want to hear yes.
Okay. I'll do it.
Matt Weinhold's doing the spoiler up next week.
Yeah. Okay.
I can't believe I strong-armed you into seeing this movie and coming back.
No, here's the thing, is that I so want Nazi horror movies to work.
Yes.
Seriously.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
One of my favorite zombie movies of all time, Shockwaves, the first best, Nazi zombies.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that kind of stuff. But since then, like, they're so hit and miss. Like, most of the time, they're miss. Like, mm-hmm. I had a movie I was going to tell you guys about called The Frozen Dead, which is like 1969 with Dana Andrews as a Nazi who's trying to revive these frozen Nazi soldiers.
Right.
And
oh,
like,
that's
it was
great.
Kind of a shitty little movie, but it actually is a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And like, what was the one with Dead Snow? Was that the other?
Yeah, yeah.
Too funny, too mm-hmm. winkety wink
well,
at
Dead
you
Snow
all.
Dead Snow also had a sequel too. There was like,
yo,
a,
forget it. Yeah. No, I'm out. I'm out. No. But I will, if you know what, if you're excited about this.
Yes.
Then I am going to suck out your excitement. I will drink the blood of your excitement.
And you got to do the spoiler now because you're going to probably either love it.
I think you're going to be a counterpoint to me, and then I think Graham, you might be as well. So we'll see.
I might like it because I'm skeptical about it.
Now here's
I think you're going to come away liking it. Chris is going to be disappointed, and I'm going to hate it before I go in and when I leave.
Well, now we don't have to do the episode.
I'll have already written fan fiction based on it.
Now we're done. Now this, we don't have to do it. You're probably
slash
right.
Fiction. Let's just.
So I'm excited to see it, but if you're busy, it's okay.
No,
but
I'm gonna. I think we can make this work.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah,
I think you're the perfect person to do the spoiler.
Yeah.
And as a special bonus, we're going to be holding it for Thanksgiving when we're not recording a show.
Yep.
So
that'll be the Overlord spoiler.
Overlord spoiler
will
be the Thanksgiving episode.
Keeping Halloween alive.
Hey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thanksgiving.
This movie didn't come out
Wishbone.
In October.
Curse bone.
The maybe we could have a nice Thanksgiving dinner with the cult. You know, a lot of people do that. From the
I will be. I'll be spending it with my family.
Oh, speaking of cults, why we're all comedians.
And also the next one is The Front Runner. This is limited release. This is the Gary Hart story.
Also about Nazis?
Kind
of. Yeah, it's sort of a cult, the Democratic Party.
Yeah. all politics.
I'm kind of interested in that. I like political things.
I'll tell you, the Gary Hart story, it's so interesting. Like, when they were making this movie, I don't think anybody on the set went, well, I can't wait until this movie's done because the political climate will make it completely irrelevant.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know, like, it's the kind of movie where it's going to be completely a waste of time, or it might be the kind of movie that, like, is timely, offers some insights, and, like, does some interesting things that we haven't seen before, so we don't know. I feel
it's
like
going
it's going
to flop. We know that. Right? Yeah. I mean,
I think you're right. I think creatively it's going to go one way or the other. I don't think there's going to be a middle ground. I don't think anybody's going to go, well, it's okay. It's either going to be
horrible. Let's go see the Gary Hart
really
movie.
Or interesting. But I think you're right, though. I think it will make no money, and only people with podcasts will go see it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Once again.
All right.
All on the same playing field here. Guys. We're back.
We always wrap it up at the end towards the end. We always do. We bring it home. And I'll end on another note of
more notes.
Movies that I enjoyed. Because I saw in your notes, Cargo, I enjoyed.
Cargo's great.
Yeah.
Cargo mm-hmm. managed.
That was a Martin Freeman zombie Australian thing. Movie.
Mm-hmm. Managed to take a pretty much dead genre. Like, we've beaten this thing to death. Mm-hmm. Take the zombie genre and do something new with it.
You know, he gets bitten, but he has a daughter with him, and he's trying to find somebody to take care of his daughter before he turns.
Oh, wow.
Which is an interesting premise.
It's really good. Martin Freeman's great.
It's
a really touching movie.
Yeah, it's good.
And that's what makes it different.
All right, that's our show.
Matt Weinold, thank you for joining us. Where can people find you on the World Wide Web?
Oh, my God. Well, you know, you can go to mattweinhold.com, but forget about that. Let's talk about Monster Party. Monster Party you could find at Monster Party TV on Facebook and YouTube, Monster Party HQ on Twitter, and Monster Party HQ on Instagram. And we have a podcast where we drink and yell at each other, much like what we did today.
Yes.
And
it's an investment of time.
Yeah,
we've both done it. It's fun.
Yeah. Yeah. It goes on for like about 2 hours or so.
You guys feed the guests?
Oh, no, no. It's longer than that.
It can go longer.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, no.
Like if you add the whole event in, like you come in, you feed us dinner, we hang out, and then we record the show. It's like it's an evening, and it's so much fun.
And it's myself, it's Sean Sheridan, James Gonis, Larry Stroth, and we're a bunch of real nerds. And we have a good time.
Great.
Yeah.
All right, check it out.
I feel like an uninformed dilettante when I'm on that show. Here I feel like a nerd. On that show, I feel like, wow, I really...
Well, we're very specific, let's just say. Can I also plug something else?
Sure.
Stand Against Evil.
Yes.
The Dana Gould Show.
Yeah, and I worked on this season, season three. And we got another nice slate of episodes coming tomorrow.
Right on.
IFC, we got two. What they do is they put two episodes in a row. So it'll be 7 and 7:30, and you get to see two episodes back to back.
All right, great.
Yeah, on IFC. Everybody who, works on the show does a great job. And we really feel like this is just an amazing season.
Awesome.
Great.
Cool. Well, guys, thank you for supporting the show. Positive reviews on iTunes and all that business. Go to the store. Patreon, great ways to support the show.
Yep, there's, paid ways are always great, but there's also ways that, you don't have to pay. Like Graham was saying, good reviews, spreading the word, and even using our Amazon affiliate link on the homepage. Like, make that your Amazon link, so every time you you buy something from Amazon, we get a little taste.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you.
And thank you to the satanic cult up in Topanga. We appreciate you guys supporting everything that we're doing.
They have a Patreon, too.
I'll see you next weekend.
See you next weekend, guys, for more. And I'm going to go see anarchistic...
satanic, hippie, folk singing.
Folk singing.
Nazi.
and bluegrass. Satanic bluegrass. I'm going to go check out.
Well, to be fair, that's all bluegrass.
Well, they actually changed the grass from green to blue.
Oh, yeah.
That is. I mean, it's right on the nose.
Episode 441. My name is Graham Elwood,
and I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember,
Han shot first.